scoop behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And my name is Ben Bullen. I write some videos here.
Fantastic. Ben, you know what? I'm going to start out with something completely off topic today.
Really?
Yeah. Surprise for you.
All right. Nothing really strange. No cannibal jokes.
It's strange, but it's not a joke.
Okay. Good. Right. Good.
This is something that were you out today at lunch? Did you go outside?
No. All right. I don't really go outside. No, I'm kidding. I didn't.
Okay.
That explains
the fangs. No, I got something that I spotted in the parking lot today. I actually pulled my car over behind it, got out, and looked at it.
What was it?
In the parking lot. This is right here in our building. Okay. In the parking lot. There's a car for sale. It's a 1984 Buick Electra hearse was in the parking lot today. And it might still be there, so we can go check it out later.
Oh, we have to go.
93,000 miles. I don't have any price on this thing.
Oh.
There was no price listed, but it was in sort of rough condition, a little rusty.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's interesting about this hearse. And this is, I mean, other than it's a hearse.
There's that.
Yeah. It's kind of a, you know, flat black. It has the side windows with curtains and everything, you know, the white curtains and everything.
Nice.
Again, interior is pretty rough. Looked like it had some kind of crazy audio system, like amplifiers and subwoofers and everything inside.
Wow.
Here's the crazy part. The back end had about a foot or a foot and a half of a coffin welded to the rear gate. So it looks like it's poking through the gate of the hearse.
Why would...
I know, and this is sticking out into the traffic area where I was driving by, so of course it caught my attention.
Where you were trying to park.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's got this metal bit of coffin sticking out of the back of the rear gate, you know, the big single-piece rear gate. Interesting car. I thought I'd just mention that it's out there, and you might want to take a look. But I don't know if anybody's ever seen anything like that. We've done an episode on hearses.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got a lot of good response about that one. Mm-hmm. I think people find them interesting.
I really want one.
It's pretty cool looking. I mean, my wife would kill me if I came home with that, but it's pretty neat.
Well, it's okay. It's just a matter of utility.
Yeah. So. Anyways, I thought I'd mention that I saw it, but let's get on to today's topic. How about that?
Right. We're going to throw you guys a plot twist. This is not an episode about hearses. We just think they're cool.
No. Just stuff I see.
Stuff I see by Scott Benjamin.
That's right. Maybe we'll start that or something. Maybe not. Today's topic is going to be about off-roading.
Oh, finally, we're doing an off-roading topic.
Exactly, and this is going to get one listener very excited because Ryan has requested this three times. Mm. Listener Ryan, long-time listener Ryan. Anyways, he made three separate requests of us, and you know, we wrote back and said, "Well, we're thinking about it. We're gonna do something soon." And you know, it's gonna be again. I had to use this example, but like we did with the motorcycles, and then we did with the dragsters recently.
Mm-hmm.
We're just gonna kind of touch on this topic first. And Ryan, I promise you, we'll do more of this, and we're gonna get into, you know, some of the things like the gear involved in the sport,
right.
Or the you know, the activity. We're also going to get into specific models and things like that, maybe, and, you know, testing and, you know, whatever that involves. But it's just the start. So, you know, this is kind of in our rotation of topics now.
Sure.
And we'll think about off-roading a little more often than we did before. Mm-hmm. But right now, let's just kind of...
The basics.
Just jump into it.
Okay. Basics.
And,
we're
not going to, again, don't cover everything, just kind of what's out there and what people do.
All right. So off-roading really is... a title that is sort of an umbrella term that encompasses a couple different things. Off-roading just means driving on unpaved ground.
Smashing up nature,
yeah. Possibly.
Yep.
Possibly. There is a debate about that.
Squirrel crushing
is fine with me.
No, come on. I'm just kidding.
Are you kidding? The squirrels will rise up.
You know what? Darn it. I was going to bring the words to Canyonero. From The Simpsons.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Shoot. Squirrel smacking, maybe that's it. I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
We'll work on it. Off-roading, driving on unpaved ground. Well, heck, you could do that in anything, right? That is sort of correct. But is it a good idea to do it in everything? No, because you need to have a couple things. You need to have traction. You need to have a vehicle, preferably, that rides a little higher than, you know, your average Ferrari, right?
Reading my mind.
Am I reading your mind?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep, that's good. No, keep going. I'm glad.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh,
just
okay.
Checking things off that you're mentioning.
Okay. when you drive off-road, you can drive in many different locales. You can go, there's sand dune driving,
sure,
right, which is very popular in the Middle East.
And awesome.
And have you done it?
I've been where people are doing it. I've not done it myself.
It seems
so cool. I'll
explain
later.
Okay.
It's really cool.
you were at a party and someone said, hey, come to the backyard.
Something like that, vacation spot.
And then, of course, my favorite is mud bogging. We call it mud bogging, but that's down south of Atlanta, where some of my formative years were spent. We used to do that because that's a quickly growing area, so there are a lot of hunting trails, but then there are also a lot of subdivisions that were just sort of roughly cleared, and then you could drive off and up and down these hills.
The stumps are gone, but the hills are still there?
Every time we went, we got stuck.
Really?
And I began to suspect that that was the point.
And that's where the winches and the toe straps and all that come
we
in.
Didn't, oh man, no, we were kids. We didn't think that far ahead.
And Another truck, maybe?
I was never driving.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, because we broke a rule of mud bogging that we should probably get to, or off-roading in general.
Which, like always swim in pairs? Is that
the, it's the buddy system.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going in there, it would be nice to have somebody else driving another truck.
Yeah.
Because one of you guys gets stuck. But I just remember, man, being up to my knees in mud, trying desperately to push this truck with my other buddies next to me.
5,000-pound truck in mud.
Right. And I'm in shape, but I'm no Superman. And
don't sell yourself short.
And we were yelling at each other, put the rock under the wheel. Put it under the wheel. Do it now.
And, great plan. How about a little bag of kitty litter? Would that have worked? I'm just kidding. That's usually like the snow ice.
Yeah. I don't think at that point it would have.
No, probably not, no.
Maybe if it was super.
You needed like logs and boulders and things. But so you've done mud bogging, or what do you call it? Mud bogging, mudding.
Yeah, that's what we call it down there. But mudding is probably more popular.
Okay, all right. Yeah. What about rocks? There's also like rock crawling.
Never.
I've seen some really interesting rock crawling videos online. There's also rock racing, which is just the same thing, only faster, which seems kind of crazy to me. But rock crawling, very cool.
And also, I would say probably the toughest of the different types we're talking about.
You think so?
I think so, because there's more, mud is soft.
Yeah.
Sand is soft. The one we haven't mentioned yet, green laning, just driving on vegetation and stuff, also soft. Rocks are not.
Yeah, good point. But, hopefully the driver's protected. They've got these rock crawling vehicles, they're very... Well, they're highly specialized. They're made just for that. So they've got these incredible angle of approach. The wheels are right out at the front of the vehicle, so they can climb, looks like sheer cliffs.
Yeah.
They're amazing. They really are. If you get online and search YouTube for videos about rock crawling, it's another one I have trouble with. How about rural rock crawling?
Rural rock crawling.
Yeah, you could try that. But, there's some really good videos out there of this stuff. What about swamp buggies?
Swamp buggies.
Yeah,
we could do a whole episode on those.
I remember clearly, I want to say ABC's Wide World of Sports or something like that. I remember watching this on network television before. Long, long time ago. I haven't seen it since. I tried watching a couple of videos online. I saw a few, it was in Florida, Naples, Florida.
Okay.
They have a big competition there, but these swamp buggies are unbelievable. They look like boats when they get going. The pro class, anyways, whatever they call those, the real long ones. These are, again, like 20, 25-foot long vehicles. Real thin, tall tires, and there's a swamp, and it's mostly water. It's got a kind of like the shape of an eye of a needle, maybe. You start out, you head down a straight, you go around a loop, and then come back, ending on the same straight that you started on. And there are ditches and things along the way and bumps on the way.
And alligators.
That's right. But you don't have to worry about that in this class because these guys seem to be on top of the water the whole time. I mean, they're going that fast. Like it's twin rooster tails from the wheels or quad rooster tails, I guess. I don't know how they see where they're going, especially if you're the second driver. If you're in a race with another driver, I don't know how they see where they're going. But there's other series that race in there. I saw some Jeep vehicles going through the mud bogs as well, the swamps rather, and they were conforming to the bottom surface of the swamp. So everybody's driving along kind of fine. It's maybe 2-3 feet deep. Suddenly it's 5 feet deep, or maybe even deeper. I don't know. I couldn't tell the scale from the vehicles, but you know, the intakes are really high on these things. The exhausts are really high on them, so that you know they can go in water, you know, practically up to the driver's neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bizarre to see these guys going through these swamps.
Yeah, I didn't know it got up to the neck.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, it seems like it. Maybe I'm off on the neck, but I mean, it goes way up on the driver because you know these are wide open Jeeps,
right?
And it's really bizarre to see the whole vehicle submerged and them still kind of plodding along. And they're in a race. They've got seven or eight cars around them, or Jeep vehicles around them.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Anyways, I think it's kind of cool
and so indicative of how different all of these types of off-roading are, mm-hmm. because, you know, this is pretty much semi-aquatic we're talking about, mm-hmm. the swamp races. And also, rock crawling, man, I figured it out. I could do it if it was low to the ground. I don't think I'm actually scared of heights. I think I'm scared of going uphill.
So you're maybe... that's right. Yeah.
So if we were on a mountain trying this, I don't know if I would sign on to it.
You're talking about the video we saw yesterday, aren't you?
Yes.
The terrifying video?
Terrifying.
It is scary because, you know, I've been to this vacation spot in Michigan called Silver Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And Silver Lake it's a state burn park, has sand dunes, and you can climb, as long as you have an off-road vehicle sticker, which is distributed by in Michigan, this is true anyways, the DNR sells you an off-road vehicle sticker as long as your vehicle conforms or meets these, you know, standards.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have an off-road vehicle sticker, and you have to, in the sand dune situation, it's what's called a, I want to say scramble. Is that the name of it? It's not a trail. It's a scramble area, which is like the idea is that you can go anywhere. There's not a set trail.
And
imagine on a sand dune, you know, people just kind of going everywhere. The problem with that is that when you crest a dune, you don't know what's on the other side unless you have some way of seeing that. So they have a outside of the sand dune area, they have a bar, just a wooden post set up. And you have to have an orange flag that touches that post as you drive underneath it. And there's a state DNR person there making sure that your vehicle or your flag touches that. So you can kind of, you get a little bit of a heads up that the vehicle's over the sand dune.
That's interesting.
But people take everything out there. Any kind of sand specific, like sand buggies that you've probably seen, the rail, open mm-hmm. rail cars. They make, you know, homemade vehicles that they take out there, which some of them are really crazy. Some of them don't work at all. Some of them work a little bit. Some of them are great.
Yeah.
There's four wheelers, there's three wheelers, there's trucks. People try to take anything and everything out there.
Anything goes in the sand lot.
Yeah, exactly. And they have these competitions that are called hill climb competitions.
Yes.
And this is climbing uphill in the sand. So have you ever tried to walk uphill in the sand?
Yes.
Now imagine trying to drive uphill in the sand.
And let's just point out, yeah, maybe I might have some issues with hills. I admit it. But this thing was on easily a 70-degree angle.
Yeah.
This it looked like a wall of sand.
Well, the video that you're talking about, it's on YouTube, and I don't know what they call it. I should have looked up the exact name of it, but it's this insane sand climbing, hill climbing video, and there's a kind of a white gray truck. And
I think it was a Rover.
It looked like a Rover.
Yeah.
It looks, you're from a far distance away.
Sure.
It does look like it's climbing up a sheer cliff that is made out of sand. I know that's not possible. It's got to have some slope to it, but mm-hmm. the guy almost makes it to the top, turns sideways, and then flips over on his side, and you think, oh, this is the end. He's going to roll over 100 times on the way to the bottom because he's so tiny compared to this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow it flips back up. He catches it at just the right angle and accelerates back down the hill. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a long shot, too.
Sand dune climbing is exciting to watch because some of these guys go so fast at the top. They're able to power up the sand dune so fast that they jump the top.
Mm-hmm.
Others, you know, come really, really close, and you know you're pulling for them. The whole crowd's cheering. You know, no luck. Others make it halfway. Some of them make, you know, a couple of feet up the hill before they get stuck, and they just dig in. Just a variety of everything. It's really cool.
Now I think we can talk about some of the science behind why people get stuck, why people don't get all the way up the hill. We mentioned traction, about how important traction is. You know, just the grip of your tires will really decide whether or not you get out of the situation you find yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
And that also takes into consideration the momentum of your vehicle. Like as you said earlier, Scott, when these people are trying to drive up this wall of sand, and honestly, it's crazy.
It looks crazy, but they often make it.
They do. There was another car at the top just hanging out. And so the momentum and the traction are important, but also, and some people would say equally important, are the angles of the vehicle. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
We mentioned it before. We mentioned the approach angle, the departure angle, and the breakover angle. So just think of it this way. Approach angle is the front of your vehicle. Departure angle is the back. And breakover angle is, for any of our listeners who have already been off-roading, breakover angle is that part where there's something under the vehicle and you're kind of tottering. That's when you're right at the vertex,
that's,
right?
That's when you're stuck right on the on the boulder or on the stump.
On the stump, possibly. Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
Or on the top of the muddy hill.
Ah, yes.
And you start looking around at your friends and saying,
"We're going to flip.
We're going to flip.
Yeah.
Nobody move. Just get
everybody
ready.
Get to the front of the car. Everybody jump out at the same time.
Yeah, and it's like there's a bear or something. It's
this
like,
will
remain
work.
Calm. Very slowly shift your weight to the front of the vehicle.
Nobody move.
Yeah. So what? How does this angle of approach and departure work?
Well, the angle of approach is the best example of this I can think of is the rock climbing vehicles, because the wheels are set way to the front, you know, the front corners and the rear corners of the vehicle, and that's so that you know, the front end of the vehicle, let's say in a normal car, if you look at it, or a truck even, there's a lot of overhang before you get to the front of the actual front end of the vehicle where the grill is. Mm-hmm. So what you want is to be able to climb a sheer surface without striking that surface with the body of the vehicle first. You want the wheels to contact it first and be allowed to climb up and over.
Mm-hmm.
Without the wheels touching first, you're just bumping against it, and that you're going to push whatever it is in front of you. You're going to try to push it. Same thing with the rear end of the vehicle. You want the body of the vehicle to be able to come off of that
obstacle is. Yeah.
If it's a boulder, if it's a log, whatever it is, you want to be able to come off of that obstacle without the rear end of the vehicle getting hung up. So you have to pull it off. And you know the departure angle, of course. That's the teetering that we just mentioned.
Oh, the breakover.
Oh, I'm sorry, the breakover. Yeah. That's right. Breakover is. Yeah.
And so a good way to test for these angles, you can, with your car parked preferably on a non-paved surface, preferably before you get stuck, you can figure out a little bit better what your angle is by taking a straight edge of some sort and then putting it, for your approach angle, just put it under the front tire and then pull up until you hit the bumper under the car, and then bam, that's your approach angle.
Very good.
And if chances are, unless you have a high-riding vehicle already, you're going to realize that it's very easy to overestimate your vehicle's abilities.
A tall curb would hang up most vehicles, really.
That's true.
Most cars, some trucks, SUVs. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the vehicles that we're talking about, these off-road-specific vehicles, a lot of them are custom-made. The lift is very important. They've got huge tires on them.
Huge tires.
A lot of modifications that maybe we'll get into in some future podcast. Mm-hmm. Again, there's just a lot to deal with these. And there's also commercial vehicles that we're not even touching. Those are off-road vehicles that are constant off-road. They're not ever meant to be on the highway. They're construction vehicles. Some mining vehicles and logging vehicles, things like that. That's not even to mention, the ranch trucks that end up being living on off-road surfaces their whole life.
Right.
Snowmobiles. That's another off-road.
Snowmobiles. That's a good one.
Hovercraft. A lot of motorcycles, like motocross.
Okay. Okay. I'll count hovercraft.
Well, of course you have to count hovercraft. That's, they can go land to water, back to land.
Yeah. Okay.
Not uphill though. That's not it, but it's an off-road vehicle. Flat off-road, but off-road.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's not paved.
I don't know. I think there's some interesting stuff that we can still touch on this topic. And I know that we're just scratching the surface, and we've only talked about trucks. We haven't really gotten into some of the other, popular off-road vehicles yet. So we'll do that.
We'll be on the way with
that. And the gear, some of the gear is fascinating.
I can't wait to do the gear.
It's purpose-built. Materials that for this is designed specifically for this vehicle, specifically for this reason. If you're going to do rock climbing in a Jeep Grand Cherokee, here's what you, or a Jeep Wrangler.
Wow.
Here's what you want to have. You have to have this for you don't have to, but it's recommended.
Right. It's almost like how to kit your car.
Yeah, exactly. So that there's some really cool gear that you can get, and then there's some necessities that we can talk about too. You should have gloves and a winch to pull somebody else out or yourself out of trouble.
Yeah.
Straps, chains, whatever. A lot of different type of gear that you need.
I'm going to take it full circle. Watch this guy.
Okay.
I've seen a hearse kitted out to go off-road.
I think
you may have seen it too, because we live in the same town. It's got those wide, tall wheels. Well, and when I say tall, man, I mean tall.
Let me ask you this. Is there an element of neon green involved in this? A frame, maybe?
A frame?
A frame of neon green. Spray-painted neon green.
Maybe.
Looks like a truck chassis underneath.
It does look like a truck chassis underneath. Do you think we may have seen the same one?
Possibly, yeah. You know what? That's not... I mean, I know it's unique to our area, that specific one, but I have seen other four-wheel drive hearses before.
Mm.
One other quick thing before.
Yes.
I know you've just tied it up neatly with a bow there, but one thing that I have to mention. I saw some guys, and this is terrible, on YouTube. Huh. A lot of the descriptions with these types of vehicles will say something like, and this isn't me, it'll say something like, it doesn't get any more redneck than this. And here's what it is. A huge truck chassis, like a monster truck chassis, mm-hmm. With the wheels and everything, and they take the body of a pontoon boat without the pontoons, and they put the flat deck part, the party part, I guess, on top of it, just a metal frame, and then bolt a bunch of seats to it, and then they drive that through, like, this big swampy area, and that is an off-road vehicle, like a swamp buggy that doesn't really go fast or anything, but gets them from point A to point B.
A rolling party platform.
I know, it's crazy, and it's kind of a neat vehicle to see, but these unfortunate, descriptions of what happens. But
dude, that's super creative.
It really is. Yeah. It's ingenious. It's inventive, and I don't know, kind of fun. Looks like it could be fun for an afternoon. I don't think I'd want to own one, but looks like fun.
Yeah, I would want to hang out on one.
Great capacity to take your friends with you, because most of these cars, it's two people, maybe. Sometimes there's a backseat, but not often. And something like that, you could take everybody.
Yeah. All right, so that about wraps it up for off-roading basics. We've talked about the important things to know going into it and the different environments that you can find yourself off-roading in, hopefully on purpose, not because you took a wrong turn in Albuquerque or
That's
something.
Right.
Yeah. And, so we will see you next time. In the meantime, if you have any ideas or suggestions for a future episode, please send us an email at
highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the How Stuff Works homepage.